Mark chapter 14, verse 53. And as we do this quick review, I just want to review the three main points. The Jewish leaders sought false testimony against the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse 53. They led Jesus away to the high priest, verse 54. Peter followed at a distance. Now notice verse 55. The chief priests and the whole council kept trying to obtain testimony against Jesus to put him to death, and they were not finding any. They weren't interested in the truth. They didn't care about the truth. They wanted guys to lie so they had an excuse to put Jesus to death. What did Jesus do? He gave them a true testimony. He explained to them who he really was, right? Go all the way down to verse 60. The high priest stood up and came forward, questioned Jesus. Do you not answer? Verse 61. But Jesus kept silent until what? Verse 61. Again, the high priest was questioning him, saying to him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? Verse 62. Jesus said, I am. Am I the Messiah? Yes. Am I the Son of God? Yes. And he gave them a true testimony. They weren't interested. They rejected the true testimony of the Son of God. All they wanted was false testimony against Jesus. And what did this group of wicked Jews do? They hypocritically condemned Jesus to death. But there's a major problem. They can't kill him. The Jews can condemn someone to death all they want, but the Jews don't have the right to put someone to death. And so for the Jews to follow through on crucifying this innocent man, they have to somehow get the cooperation of Rome. Let me read from John 18, verses 28 through 30. They then led Jesus from Caiaphas into the praetorium. The praetorium would be the place where the governor, Pilate, lives. Therefore, Pilate went out to them and said, what accusation do you bring against this man, Jesus? These are the Jewish leaders. They answered and said to him, if this man were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him to you, right? What else do you want? He's here. If he was innocent, we wouldn't have brought him, okay? So murder him. That's what they're saying to the Romans. So Pilate said to them, John 18, 31, take him yourselves and judge him according to your law. The Jews said to him, we're not permitted to put anyone to death. They knew that, and they were right. The Jews could not have Jesus put on a cross. So for Jesus to die is going to demand the cooperation of the civil or Roman government. And they did. And that's the title of our message this morning. Rome cooperates, and the innocent Christ will be crucified. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have this wonderful account of the Lord Jesus Christ and his willingness to go to the slaughter like a sheep, not opening his mouth, not resisting, not fighting, but having prayed in Gethsemane, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done, he was willing to drink of the cup that holds your wrath against our sin. And he was willing, and he bravely went to that cross to die in our place. We thank you that we have this account that causes us yet again to marvel at what a great God we have, what a great Savior Jesus is. Lord, help us to understand the text. Help us to marvel again this morning all over again in a way that would bring you honor and glory. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The innocent Christ will be crucified. We're in Mark chapter 15 this morning, and we'll be looking at the first 15 verses of Mark chapter 15. Notice verse 1, please, in Mark 15. It says, early in the morning, it would have been about 5 or 6 a.m., Luke's account tells us. So very early in the morning, notice verse 1, the chief priests with the elders and the scribes and the whole council, so here's all the Jews, leadership, immediately held a consultation and binding Jesus, they led him away, and they delivered him to Pilate. This is Pontius Pilate. He's the Roman governor of Judea. He ruled there from AD 26 to 36. Normally, he lived up in Caesarea by the sea, but it's Passover. It's a big event, so he comes down in Jerusalem to try to keep an eye on things. This is a man who's a very wicked man, a ruthless man, and he's actually a weak man. Rome is the one who really governs, and they let Pilate be in charge of this area, Judea, as long as he can keep the peace and not make a lot of trouble. The problem is Pilate didn't always do that. For example, I'll just mention two things that history records for us. He marched once into Jerusalem with the emperor's image on military insignias, and the Jews were highly, highly offended, and they revolted against that. And see, that's bad for Pilate. Because when they find out in Rome that there's another revolt going on down in Judea, then the first thing they do is say, Pilate, what's your problem? On another occasion, Pilate wanted to get water into this area, and so he began to make an aqueduct. He was a person who just wanted to do things like this. So how did he get money? Well, he confiscated money from the Jewish temple treasury, and again they got angry at him. And again, the Roman leadership says, come on, Pilate, what's going on? So Pilate's a weak guy. He's a puppet king or governor, I guess would be the better word. That's the man we're talking about here. And it says here in Mark 15, verse 1, they led him away and they delivered him to Pilate. And what do we see in this account? Pilate talks to Jesus. And Pilate knows full well that Jesus did not deserve to die. Notice what happens, please. Verse 2. Pilate questioned him. He questioned Jesus. Are you the king of the Jews? I mean, that's the big thing. Are you threatening, right, the political establishment? Are you the king of the Jews? And he answered him, Jesus, it is as you say. And Jesus says, yes. He answers, I am the king of the Jews. And is that a problem? No, because the other gospel writers give us insight, and we realize from John's account in chapter 18 that Jesus made sure Pilate knew what he meant. Let me read a little bit from John 18, beginning in verse 33. Pilate entered again into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me? Pilate answered, I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priest delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom, here's where Jesus explains, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. Look around, my followers aren't fighting. This is not an insurrection. You have nothing to worry about. Jesus made it clear. And Pilate understood. Therefore, Pilate said to him, so you are a king. Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews. And what does Pilate say to the Jews? Right there, I find no guilt in him. This man is not guilty. And Pilate knows that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Pilate knew Jesus didn't deserve to die. Jesus declared himself the king of the Jews, but he explained it. And what happens? Pilate knows he is not guilty. So what does Pilate do? Well, look at verse 3, please. The chief priests began to accuse him harshly. Then Pilate questioned him, saying, do you not answer? See how many charges they bring against you. But Jesus made no further answer. So Pilate was amazed. Here is Pilate. He's talking to somebody who's clearly not guilty. And yet the Jews want him dead. And remember, Pilate's already messed up a couple of times. And if the Jews get uptight again and there's another riot, Rome's going to hear about it. So what does Pilate do? He comes up with an idea. I'll send them to Herod. So the account that we have in the other text help us to understand that it's right here in this moment that Pilate marvels at Jesus because he's not fighting and he makes a decision to send him to Herod. Why would Pilate send Jesus up to Herod? Luke 23:7. When Pilate learned that he, Jesus, belonged to Herod's jurisdiction. Jesus is from Galilee. That's where Herod rules, up farther north. He sent him to Herod, who himself was also in Jerusalem at this time. Now, just real quick, who's Herod? Now, this would be the son of Herod the Great. Herod the Great is the Herod who kind of, at the end of his reign, Jesus was born. Remember the Herod who found out when Jesus was born that, oh no, I got to get rid of all the boys under two in Bethlehem? That was Herod the Great. The Herod that we're talking about here is his son, Herod Antipas. So what happens with Herod the Great is he dies and his kingdom's divided up. Herod Antipas is over Galilee. This is the Herod who illegally married, what, his brother-in-law's wife, if I'm thinking right? And John the Baptist didn't care for that and spoke out, and it ended up costing John his head. So what is Pilate going to do? Well, maybe I'll send him up to Herod. Jesus is from Galilee, right? Maybe Herod could somehow take care of this. And so Pilate marvels at Jesus, sends him up to Herod. And what happens up there? Herod finds Jesus not guilty and sends him right back to Pilate. You say, Greg, how do we know that? Because of Luke's parallel account. Let me read from Luke 23 a bit, beginning in verse 8. Now Herod was very glad when he saw Jesus, for he had wanted to see him for a long time because he'd been hearing about him and was hoping to see some sign performed for him. Maybe I'll see a trick. I'll see magic. That's Herod's thinking. And he questioned him at some length, but he, Jesus, answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes were standing there. They went up north to make sure that Herod knew what a bad guy Jesus was, accusing him vehemently. And Herod, with his soldiers, after treating him with contempt and mocking him, dressed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him back to Pilate. Pilate summoned the chief priests and the rulers and the people, and he said to them, "You brought this man to me as one who incites the people to rebellion, and behold, having examined him before you, I have found no guilt in this man regarding the charges which you made against him, nor has Herod, for he sent him back to us. And behold, nothing deserving death has been done by him." So here's Jesus. And the Jews want him dead, but they can't kill him, and they need the Romans to help. And Jesus goes to Pilate, and Pilate says, "Not guilty, but let's send him up to Herod." And Herod says, "Not guilty, send him back to Pilate." And now what's Pilate going to do? And you would think, well, if Pilate did what's right, he would have said not guilty and released him. But that is going to cost him his job. And Pilate's not going to lose his job for Jesus. Because if Pilate lets Jesus go, the Jews are going to get everybody all in a tizzy. And then Rome's going to hear about it. And they're going to say, "Come on, Pilate, another rebellion." I don't think so. And so Pilate, he's nothing against Jesus, but he could care less about Jesus. He cares about his job. So what does he do? Well, he has a plan. Notice in Mark 15, verse 6, please. Now at the feast, remember, Feast of Passover, it's a big deal. He used to, that's Pilate, release for them, that's the Jews, any one prisoner whom they requested. You know, it's kind of a nice thing to do. See, Pilate's thinking, hey, Jesus hasn't done anything. This will get me out of this. I can release Jesus as part of this nice thing. Verse 7, the man named Barabbas had been in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the insurrection. The crowd went up and began asking him to do as he had been accustomed to do for them. You say, what does that mean? To release a prisoner. Pilate thought, I think this is going to work out. And it didn't work out. Because the third thing we see is Pilate sets a guilty man free instead of Jesus. Do you see that? Notice, please, verse 9. Pilate answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews?" Right? He hasn't done anything. I can release him. It's your Passover gift. And Pilate's fine. You say, why would Pilate offer that? Notice verse 10. For he, Pilate, was aware that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. So the priests are envious. They want Jesus dead, but the people aren't envious. So the people will say, yeah, release Jesus. But it doesn't work. Pilate knows Barabbas is guilty. Pilate knows Jesus is not. Pilate knows that the Jews, the leaders, are angry out of envy. And Pilate is thinking, I can have Jesus released because the crowd will say, let Jesus go. But there's something Pilate didn't count on. The Jewish leaders were more corrupt than even he realized. Notice verse 11. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to ask him to release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate didn't bank on that. You say, how in the world do you get a crowd to say release Barabbas? Remember, Barabbas is an insurrectionist, and we're talking about Jews, and the Jews hate the Romans. It would not be a hard thing for the Jewish leaders to go, hey, you know what? Pilate's going to let somebody go. You know Barabbas? He's the guy that was fighting against the Romans. What a hero. What a great guy. Wouldn't it be good if Pilate released him? Yeah? And the next thing you know, what is the crowd saying? Release Barabbas. Pilate knows that Barabbas is guilty. Pilate knows Jesus is not. And what happens? Yet the crowd is pressuring Pilate to release Barabbas and not Jesus. Again, verse 11. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to ask him to release Barabbas for them instead. And of course, as we know from the account, that's exactly what happens. And so Barabbas, a guilty man, is set free. And an innocent man, the only innocent man who ever walked the face of the earth for extended period of times, Adam not counted, obviously, in the garden, Jesus, is not released. And that's okay with Pilate because the Jews know how to push his buttons. And they did. And so what happens? The Jews get what they want. And Rome cooperates. And Pilate condemns Jesus to death. Notice verse 12, please. Answering again, Pilate said to them, then what shall I do with him whom you call the King of the Jews? Verse 13. They shout back, crucify him. But Pilate, verse 14, said to them, why? What evil has he done? He's done nothing. But they shouted all the more, crucify him. And here is Pilate, and he still knows that Jesus is not guilty. To make that even more plain, I'd like to read a little bit from John's parallel account. John writes in chapter 19, verse 1, Pilate then took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and put a purple robe on him. And they began to come up to him and say, hail, King of the Jews, and give him slaps in the face. Pilate came out again and said to them, behold, I'm bringing him out to you so that you may know. I find no guilt in him. So when the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify, crucify. Pilate said to them, take him yourself and crucify him. I find no guilt in him. Pilate knows Jesus is not guilty. And yet what happens? Pilate condemns Jesus to satisfy the Jews. Do you see that in verse 15? Wishing to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas for them And after having Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. Verse 10, Pilate knows it's all because of envy, right? Verse 11, Pilate knows the only reason the crowd wants Barabbas is because the chief priests have told him to say that. Verse 15, Pilate knows what's going on, and he knows Jesus does nothing. But he's not going to lose his job to stick up for Jesus. And so what happens? What happens is Rome cooperates. Matthew records it this way in 27:20. The chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to put Jesus to death. But the governor said, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" They all said, "Crucify him." Here's Pilate again, Matthew 27:23. "Why? What evil has he done?" But they kept shouting all the more, saying, "Crucify him." And then I want to put what John records at this very moment. Pilate made efforts to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, and they know how to push his button, "If you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar, and everyone who makes himself out to be a king opposes Caesar." Pilate already heard Jesus explain that. He knows Jesus is no threat to him. But the big guys in Rome will not understand. And Pilate knows that. And thus Matthew records in 27:24, when Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather a riot was starting, and he can't afford another riot, he takes water and washed his hands in front of the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to that yourselves." And all the people said, "His blood shall be on us and our children." Then he released Barabbas for them. But after having Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. And that's exactly what we read here in our text in Mark at the end of 15:15. "And after having Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified." The Jews knew what they wanted, but they couldn't do it without the cooperation of the Romans. And what they wanted, they got it. And an innocent man is condemned to death. Summary, very simple message this morning on the condemnation of Jesus. The Jewish leaders condemned an innocent man. And secondly, the Romans cooperated and they agreed to crucify him. Now, as we begin to close this morning, I want to go back to that illustration I opened up with this morning about Johnny D. McMillan. Johnny McMillan was down in Alabama. He was condemned to death unjustly, but he didn't want to be condemned. He wanted to be set free, but there was nothing he could do until a couple of new attorneys who did not work for the state of Alabama volunteered their time and took over Johnny McMillan's case and eventually found that the prosecution had illegally withheld evidence that proved beyond the shadow of the doubt he was not guilty. Once the attorneys found this out, word started to spread. Somehow a couple of TV executives found out. November 22nd, 1992. Some of you have watched the show 60 Minutes. I'm not sure if that's still on or not. But they dedicated a portion of 60 Minutes to this case. And now the whole nation knows what happened down in Alabama. Finally, the state of Alabama agreed to investigate its early handling of the case. They admitted they made a mistake, and Mr. McMillan was set free on March 3rd, 1993. Johnny McMillan was not guilty. He wanted out all of the time. Finally, somebody helped him, and he was able to be released, and he was glad. But that's nothing like Jesus. Jesus could have been set free anytime. Any time he wants. He can overcome Pilate. He can overcome Herod. He can overcome the chief priests. It's not like, "Oh, bummer, poor Jesus. They're being mean to him." Jesus is having happen exactly what he wants. And it's a miscarriage of justice, and it's morally wrong. And he's okay with that. Why? Jesus was willing to be condemned in our place. If Jesus is not condemned, I will be condemned. If he does not allow this to happen, I go to hell. Someone has to pay the price of my sin. So Jesus, the whole time, knows that he's innocent and could stop it at any moment, is willing to be condemned so that I, one day, will be able to appear before him and there will be no condemnation. Because Paul records in Romans 8:1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? Have you come to the place where you have said, I am a filthy, wicked sinner? And you say, Greg, that offends me. You need to be offended. Have you come to the place where you would say, I am a dirty, filthy, wicked sinner, and I deserve to be condemned? Yet I believe that Jesus, sinless, innocent, God in the flesh, allowed himself to be condemned on a cross like that for my sin, in my place, so I would not be condemned. If you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you've never asked the Lord to forgive you, you could do that right now. You don't need to come forward. You don't need to shake my hand. You don't need to fill out a card. You don't need my help at all, even though I'd be glad to help you if I can. You could right now, where you're seated, say, Lord, I'm a filthy, wicked sinner, and I deserve to be condemned. But what we read about today, I believe it's true. I believe Jesus willingly went to that cross and died for me so I would not be condemned. We have had people just sitting in their seats pray that prayer and then have come back in later weeks and said, you know, I think I should tell you a couple weeks back, I became a Christian. You can do that right now. But if you have questions, there are many of us here that would be glad to speak with you. And just stop us after the service or send an email. We'll get together this week and talk. But someone must be condemned for your sin. And it will either be you or you will put your faith in Jesus. And then what he did on the cross will count for you. For those of us, and I hope it's all of us, who have faith in Jesus and we're followers of Jesus, what an incredible Christ we have, that he would willingly be condemned so that I would not be condemned. Amen? I love it. What a great Christ.